I thought I would introduce myself. I'm Pastor Joshua with a hat. With my only hat. And this is the first time I have ever worn it in public. I've never liked hats, nor caps. But I decided that when I go visiting people in the hospital and it's cold and I go walking in, if I come in wearing like a baseball cap, it may not convey the right impression and the right confidence. So I thought I'd get something that looked a bit more sophisticated, respectable, you know. I don't know what kind of hats God wear, you know. Maybe if God would tell me what kind of hats he wear. Anyway, I went to buy it and chose a couple of berets and a hat. And so I'm going to pay it, and this young lady's there. And so I thought I'd try it out on her. I said, no. I put on this hat here now, and you're in the hospital, and I come to pray for you, and you see me coming in with this hat. What would you think? She said, man, I think you're one bad priest. I said, bad priest? Does that mean good priest? She said, yeah. I said, good. I'll take the hat. So today I heard the pastor, Michael, had come showing up with his fedora. So I thought I'd join him. But then by the time I got out here, he took it off. So anyway, long story about a hat, which turns out, in retrospect, as I was sitting there, I'm going to tie it in with what I'm teaching. So I'm going to teach you a little bit about the coronavirus. And the context is, remember, that we've taught that in these ending days, the first seal in Revelation 6 has been opened. The first seal. Behold, a rider on a white horse. And I want to give you a really classic example. President Putin of Russia, the Constitution limits him to 2 terms. So he did his 2 terms. Then he became prime minister and basically helped install a surrogate, trying to find a respectable name, a surrogate president. So he was president, but the power behind it was now the prime minister. Then once that was over, he went back, ran again for president, became president. Now he's more emboldened, and now he's asked them to change the constitution so that somebody can be in office 4 terms in a row, would give him another 12 years. And both houses of parliament have approved it. It's all that's left is for the constitutional court to approve it, which you're expecting it to be approved. So that's an example of what I mean by a rider on a white horse, going out to conquer and to conquer. And in that context, it's really appropriate to see the things that are happening in the world, the devastation occurring in Northeast Africa from the hordes of different swarms of locusts eating up everything they can find. Almost surely, it's going to be a famine of biblical proportions. And of course, for the rest of the world, well, there also, we have the challenge of the coronavirus, the COVID-19. As you probably all know, that France, Italy has been in lockdown. You can only leave your home for very specific reasons, limited number of reasons. France and Spain are much along that path of doing pretty much the same thing. I went inside to check something recently, and I got a cell phone flash on my news on the cell phone. It says this Sunday morning, the United States is at virtually a standstill. Churches have been closed across the countries, and schools, businesses, it's pretty much at standstill right now. So by now we've all stocked up on masks and food and water and I suppose toilet paper and other paper products. When the Lord told us, I believe it was February 8th or 18th, I sent out the first, February, the first time I spoke about the coronavirus was the first Sunday in February. And I prophesied all the things we've seen come to pass and more. I prophesied at that time the stock market would crash because of the coronavirus. It's gone down into bear territory, and my book's just a crash. Now it's fighting valiantly. It's bounced back up 2,000 points on Friday. But there are many things that I spoke about that have come to pass and are coming to pass. We have been preparing for the ending days for a long time. We have been saying for these 15 years that major unknown diseases would come up in the world. And we've seen four or five since the turn of the century. This one being the most significant. This is the first one we've taken action on. Now, when I sent out the email to everybody that they should be sure they have their 3 month supply of food, and by the way, buy masks, and today is a good day to go do that, I specifically left out hand sanitizers and wipes. I thought about it, and I left it out, because I knew washing your hands would be adequate. Now, later on, I decided, we do have people who are not as agile as others. You know, they may not run around, so running into where there's a pipe to wash their hand very frequently and so forth may not be as easy. So I thought this concept of as soon as they come into the house or into the car, they have hand sanitizers might be good. So since then, we've been trying to get it, and we have not been that successful in getting much, but we have found the ingredients to make them. So on Tuesday, we will be making hand sanitizers here for whoever needs it and whoever doesn't have it. We are looking for some volunteers to help us do that on Tuesday. So if you can be available anytime on Tuesday, give us a call and we see what we can work out. Yeah, and especially in the afternoon. In the afternoon would be good. Now, if you're here today and you still have not acquired masks, see us before you leave. You don't want to leave here today without mask. We will give you a mask. Some comments which may not be so obvious is I want to say, I do recommend two things. One is that you don't fly. Avoid flying. And the second one is I want to say avoid going to the cinema, the theater. To the movie theater. Now, if you've had very good reason for going, such as I understand that Anna's friend, cousin and friend, her movie is debuting and she wants Anna to go with her, that's a good reason. I'd go for that. We've been teaching, we believe, that every coronavirus dies in contact with our body or our clothes. We believe that. We've been declaring the longer version 10 years for some of us. In the name of Jesus, every germ, disease, virus, parasite, bacteria, microorganism, fungus, or mold, potentially harmful to us, dies on contact with our bodies. In the name of Jesus, every chemical, drug, poison, allergen, every explosion, fire, or radiation is neutralized in contact with our bodies. So it should be standard part of our armor. Speaking the word of God over itself and believing that which we've declared has come to pass. So we can do anything we want to do. On the other hand, just because we believe angels bear us up so we don't dash a foot against a stone doesn't mean we should jump off the top of the building. Mm-hmm. Now, if you fall off accidentally, and don't do that too often, you won't be hurt. I mean, with a great, great example of Pastor Matthew's father who fell off the top of the building and he was restored. Tremendous miracle. We have all the examples. So we do the things in the natural that make sense. So here is where I disagree. You know, I've never been one to disagree with the experts. Here's where I disagree with the primarily where I see it is by the U.S. health authorities that keep stressing that the coronavirus COVID-19 is not airborne. Based on my studies, and I've really gotten into this and studied it, I believe it is. Maybe not always, maybe under certain circumstances, maybe at a certain point in the development, but I believe it is. So I function as if it is. Just by the way business functions, they were featuring on one of the internet channels Outbreak, first a big movie on this kind of a challenge, and where the big challenge started, where it was blown up substantially, was in a movie theater, because the virus had mutated and became airborne. Now, we already know China is claiming that this virus has already mutated once. And I don't want to take the time here. Maybe next Sunday when I really focus on coronavirus, am I going to why I believe that. So I believe it can be airborne. So if you have to go see a movie for good reasons, go see it. If you have to go anywhere for good reasons, go do it. But if you don't, avoid theaters, avoid crowded spaces, and avoid flying. And let's practice the safe procedures that have been encouraged by our medical profession, scientists, by the government around the world, and by this letter that I'm producing here. So I know we come in here and I know that we can hug and we can act as normal because we have the faith to believe everything is going to die if it touches us. And we believe that here other people believe the same way and they're acting the same way. And in all the years that we've had ABC, nobody has ever gotten an infection from coming here. And people have come here with a lot of challenges because that's what church is about, getting people healed. But because we tend to do reflexively that which we practice, and probably the only place we should really be willing to shake hands and hug should be here. And even here, understand we may have visitors or people who are not committed to the concepts that we're the temple of God and bacteria and so forth should die, especially when we declare it. Maybe people here who don't declare it, who don't believe it, or visitors. So I would say, just to develop the right habits, let's here start greeting with fist bumps or elbow bumps. Let's shy away from the hugging. And let's shy away from the handshakes. Because what you do here, you will accidentally, by habit, do elsewhere. And you may offend people. I just think it's a good habit, and that's what I'm saying, okay? We are safe here. I'm perfectly comfortable doing whatever I want to do normally. And most of you, maybe all of you are. But when we go out, we should try to follow the current norms of society because people are in great fear. And if they're in great fear and don't want you to shake their hand and you grab their hands, that's going to create offense. And when you're fighting something like this, you really don't want offense around you. You don't want to create it, and you don't want to take it. You want to be in joy, peace, and patience all the time. Joy, peace, and patience. Your armor falls apart if you're not walking in joy, peace, and patience. Your prayers are tremendously hindered if you're not. So what I've sent out here is a letter from a famous scientist, doctor, pathologist, that he sent to his friends and family. Now, one of his friends is friend with a member of our family, as I understand it, and so I got a copy of it through my family. But I fact-checked it. I read the whole thing and I thought, this is really, really well written, very, very good. I agreed everything he's saying, except two items, which I might mention as we get there. And I said, well, that's great, great and wonderful, but let me fact check it. How did I do that? You should probably fact check everything you get. The internet is full of really terrible things, terrible, evil things. People try to mislead you. They try to develop traffic on their website. They say the most amazing things and show you the most amazing videos. And you have to look at it with discerning. And maybe next Sunday, if I have time, I'll teach you some other way you can pick out something being suspicious. This letter originally went out as being an internal memo from Stanford University to the Stanford Medical Board, an internal memo. That's how it went out originally. Stanford has totally denied it. It has nothing to do with Stanford. If you look at the original letter, it has to raise some flags as to whether or not this actually came from Stanford. But the way you check something very simply, I think I changed gears on you here. Not the letter that's here, the one I want to talk about, okay? There are two letters in my mind right now. One I'm giving you here, which is very good, okay? The other one I want to talk about is the one that went out from the Stanford board. It's the one that maybe many of you have seen, which says, by the time somebody has had COVID-19 for a few days, they still may be asymptomatic, but this challenge is going on in their bodies. And by the time you get to the hospital, the challenge is pretty severe. So instead, what you do is you drink water every 15 minutes. You drink water every 15 minutes, A. And B is, do you want to test yourself? Hold your breath for 10 seconds. If you can hold your breath for 10 seconds, you don't have COVID-ID. And if you drink the water, it will wash the viruses down into your stomach, and the stomach acid will kill it. Sounds pretty good superficially. But the claim was from Stanford University, and Stanford said, we have nothing to do with it. If you type in some expressions to find it, like type in, hold your breath for 10 seconds, and you get a lot of responses. All of them are saying, this is a fake. If you type in, drink water frequently, and COVID ID, you'll get responses. Now, some of it seems to make sense. I haven't taken the time to research it or read all of the debunking things. If I did, I'd probably find the answers I'm looking for. Like, the idea of drinking water for 15 minutes is an excellent idea for a number of reasons. Yeah, I'm going to go there. The idea of drinking water for 15 minutes is an excellent idea. The idea of keeping your head warm, which, by the way, is the reason I'm wearing my hat, because sometimes it's a bit chilly. And as one gets older, as I got older, I started to lose some of my hair. My hair is not as thick as when I'm younger, and so my head gets colder easier. But apart from that, I've come to learn over the last few years the tremendous power of keeping your head cool. Scientists know. Right. So I'll read it there. Keeping it warm, yeah. And the warmer the better, really. Scientists have known for years that flus and colds increase in the winter. We all know that. What they argue about is why. And in all that I've looked at, nobody has mentioned keeping their heads warm. I've found, God showed me, I've done it, I've been doing it now for several years. But 3 years ago, I gave you all caps for your head. Keep your head warm. When you go to bed at night, put the cap on. What happens is when for each person, when the head temperature reaches a certain amount, the sinuses start to release liquids to warm it up, or whatever it releases for. It releases the liquid, which ends up as post-nasal drips. Post-nasal drip in the throat becomes a good breeding ground for bacteria and viruses. And that's what's causing the sore throat and the various problems in general. Now, every year before God taught me this, I would be doing affirmations, hundreds of affirmations. My sinuses have been healed by the strap of Jesus. You know, name of Jesus, every flu bug touches me dies. And sometimes I have to do a lot to get rid of the slight challenge. I've never come down with any of those things. Never. Never will. But I've had to fight off some of them. And once God says, what are you doing that affirmation for? My sinuses have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I said, because of this challenge. He says, your sinuses are working fine. They're doing exactly what they should do. The problem is your head is too cold. And I said, I've been telling you, keep your head warm. Well, I thought my head was pretty warm, so I just made it warmer. It absolutely works tremendously well. I mean, I can be sitting there sneezing with a cap in my head, sneezing, and I put on a second cap and it snaps. Sometimes I've been sitting there when it's cool outside, and my head is right below the window, and I have two caps on, and I start to sneeze, I put on the third one, and it stops. It's tremendous. Within seconds, it stops. So I've gotten to the habit of keeping my head warm. Now, here's why it's relevant here. Well, it's relevant because none of you want to catch colds and flus. But here's something even more. The coronavirus is a family. And of the family of coronavirus, there are seven members of the family that can affect people. Four of them produce colds and flus. Well, I'm just finished telling you that colds and flus will, for the most part, stop if you keep your head warm. Because the sinuses won't drip, there won't be the breathing ground. And a lot of people come back and said it's working wonderfully. So I suggest you try it. But I'm not saying that among the ones that have been stopped have been the coronaviruses that create colds. That I don't know. All I can tell you is it works to stop colds and flus, of which colds and flus, four of them are coronavirus. If it has been doing that with general coronaviruses that create colds and flus, maybe it also will help on COVID-19. I don't know. But I do know drinking water washes away the postnasal drip. Putting caps on stops it. So I think there's some value in what the person is saying. But when it washes the virus down to the stomach, which is what the thing goes on to say, will the stomach acid destroy it? I don't know. If the person were eating, I'm sure it would. But the stomach acid, the pH varies a lot. So on a normal condition, would it be acid enough to kill the virus? I don't know. And I haven't taken the time to read all these comments about why this thing is not true. If you haven't seen that yet, I guarantee you're going to see it. It will get to you. How many people have seen it? Okay. Basically, maybe 1/3 of you have seen it, okay? The second one is holding your breath. It says if you can't hold your breath for 10 seconds, then you're affected with fibrosis. Is that true? It sounds reasonable. I don't know if it's true. But the point of fact is, there are other things that cause fibrosis besides COVID-19. And would fibrosis show up within 4 days? I doubt that. Secondly, if, however, you're normal and suddenly you can normally hold your breath for what, half a minute, a minute? And suddenly you can't hold your breath for 10 seconds? Yeah, that tells you there's something wrong. Maybe you should go see a doctor. But to say because you can do it means you don't have COVID-19, that's really, 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 that's not true. You can have it because it's pretty much asymptomatic the first week. So I don't think it's a true statement at all. I'm telling you this because there's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff has been sent to me over the last 2 months on COVID-19 from people I respect and like. So I better check some of them. It's taking a lot of time. Most of them are fake. How do you check these things out? Well, the site I use the most, which I haven't really used recently that much, is Snopes. Snopes.com. S-N-O-P-E-S. Snopes.com. You go there. And you type in what you want, and they'll tell you. There's one called Truth or Fiction, at least there used to be, and one called Urban Legend. These sites, that's their function, to tell you whether these things are true or not. Not just COVID ID, but anything. But the simplest, fastest way is simply take an expression from the letter, like hold your breath for 10 seconds and type it in, and you see what comes up. I recommend you all do that before you start sending these things off. Now, this one here, I fact-checked. It's clear from this letter here that the man is well-established and well-known. What I learned when I fact-checked it is he's a lot more famous than I thought he was. This is a very famous man. And it's all the fact-checks, this is absolute accurate. He wrote it, he takes responsibility for it. And here's what I found. He talks about zinc lozenges. And I personally, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I don't take, in general, I don't take medicines. Well, I don't take medicines, period. And in general, I don't attack physical challenges with medicine, or medicine, nutrition, vitamins, or any other stuff. I do not do it. I take minerals, vitamins, and supplements, and I try to eat well. But if a challenge comes, I attack it spiritually. Unless God specifically clearly tells me, son, this person is challenged with rickets, give him some vitamin C. Then I give him some vitamin C. So I personally won't take the zinc lozenges. Based on this man's reputation and based on what I saw when I fact-checked it, the researchers, because he is doing it, the researchers in the country are jumping on the research for zinc, with the connection between zinc and these things. That tells me a lot. When one letter he sends to his friends and families can call the researchers in this country to open up new fields of exploration. Selenium, I just got something in selenium. There's selenium and zinc work a lot better together. I haven't checked that. I don't have time to check most of these things. Sometimes I'm forced to do it because it's going to a lot of people who are ABCs. Then I got to check it to see if there's value. So this man did some of the early works on the coronavirus family. He helped to identify it and unravel it and all the various things they do with it, okay? Here's halfway down the page, you see no handshaking. Here's some of the stuff that he says he's going to do. He said, I have the experience, and to my family and friends, here's what I'm going to do for me. That's what he's saying. He says, no handshaking. Use only your knuckles to touch light switches, elevator buttons, etc. I totally agree with that. Sometimes you can use the back of your hand. Most people do not touch their faces with the back of their hands. Okay? Open doors with your closed fists or hips. I've been doing that in public restrooms for years. I've seen people on TV, the evening news, telling people how to do that. You go into the restroom, you wash your hands, you get a piece of paper, you turn off the paper, turn off the tap with your hand if you have to do that, and you open it with the door, and then you throw the paper away. Okay? Try not to touch anything. This is normal hygiene. Try not to touch anything in a public restroom unless you really have to. If you have to, use your shoulder or elbow. That's normal common sense hygiene, which will work for COVID ID. Says use disinfectant wipes. Wash your hands with soap for 10 to 20 seconds. And when you wash your hands, you're doing in here like this. And you're washing under the nails, okay? But you want to get your hand at that whole thing, but additionally do this. Most people don't do that. You want to do that, okay? See? So you wash the hands on the way you normally do it, but be sure you do this. This is what I want to do for ABCers and their friends and families who are not very mobile, is keep a bottle of sanitizer available at each of the house's entrance and their vehicles. So that's why we're making some of this stuff. So they go at the back, they come in, they can sanitize their hands instead of having to run to the bathroom and back and forth. Again, normal hygiene. Cough or sneeze into a disposable tissue and discard it. I normally cough or sneeze into a handkerchief. I would say for the 25, 30 years now, at any point in time, I mean, you see me, I have 4 to 6 handkerchiefs on me for specific purposes. I have 2 that haven't been touched by me since they've been washed or brand new that I use for emergencies for others. They're my back pockets. I never use them for myself. Then around me, I have different handkerchiefs. Tissue is really, really great. I haven't gotten the tissue habit as much as I should have, which is better than the kerchiefs. Because with the kerchiefs, you got to pay attention to what you're doing and you need multiple kerchiefs. It says he stocked latex or nitrile disposable gloves for use when going shopping, the gasoline pump, and other outside activity. As soon as you get inside your car, put hand sanitizers on your hand, and be sure that periodically you hand sanitize the steering wheel. Note, this, at the bottom of the page, it says, note, this virus is spread in large droplets by coughing and sneezing. That's, I totally agree with that. This means that the air will not affect you. I don't agree with that. Okay? Now, remember, he's a world-famous scientist, and I'm just me. That doesn't mean I can't have an opinion. There's a famous case when SARS came out in Hong Kong, where they had to close down a hotel because it was being airborne. And you can check that on the internet easily. And in China recently, they had a case with an apartment building where they had to close it down because it was going through the vent. Large droplets that sneeze and don't go very far. They say 6 to 8 feet. But when it's small, and when it's small droplets, the viruses are always in droplets as best as I can tell. When the droplets are very small, not as big as a cough or a sneeze, but very small, then it can get borne on the ear currents and carried through. So that's why I say avoid planes and small crowded theaters and things and majigas like that. It said the virus only has cell receptors for lung cells. It only affects your lungs. I think that's a characteristic of the coronavirus family. Based on my studies, I don't necessarily fully agree that it only does that. I know it's designed to do that. It says it only hooks up there. They're the scientists. Number three is alcohol-based sterilizers. Must be 60% or more. Stock up now with zinc lozenges. You can read that on your own. And at the very end, it says, I hope these personal thoughts will be helpful during this potentially catastrophic pandemic. Okay? And that's the key word, potentially catastrophic pandemic. I was really happy when the U.S. government made an about-face and started getting really serious about this a couple of days ago. So far, they've taken some good steps, a bit late, and they should be more drastic. I think they should lock down the entire state of Washington and the entire New York City area. That's the first things that I would do. But they're heading in the right directions. Let's hope it's not potentially catastrophic in this country. But you are going to see a lot of people die worldwide. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. How to make a hand sanitizer gel. I gave that to you in a handout some time ago. What's different here is we have 2 ways now. We have the 91% isopropyl alcohol. And we have... You can use a 151 proof grain of ethyl alcohol. The 91% isopropyl alcohol is, you know, that's rubbing alcohol. They also have them at what? Is it 60% or 75%? 70%. 70%. I think if you're going to use a 70%, then you got to reduce, increase the amount you use and reduce the amount of the aloe vera. 151 proof. Percentage by volume is half of proof. So 151 proof is 75.5% by volume. So that's obviously above 60%. 60% straight alcohol will kill these things. But if you're making a hand sanitizer, you're gonna dilute it by adding the aloe vera, which is why you want to start high. So if you're going to use a 70 proof, you want to use less of the aloe vera. The purpose of the aloe vera is so the alcohol doesn't dry out your hand and your skin. Because if you use it a lot, it will dry it out. Okay? The purpose of the optional stuff is to make it smell good and it's good for your skin. Perfectly optional. If you don't care if it smells good or not, if you don't care if your skin is a bit dry, then you don't need it. So we have two options here. You could use the green ethyl alcohol. Remember, this is not wood alcohol. You don't want to use wood alcohol. Ethyl alcohol is what we call regular drinking alcohol. Okay? It's called ethylene alcohol, ethyl alcohol, regular drinking alcohol. 151 proof just means it's very, very strong. Typically, people don't drink anything that high. The green means they have not put the stuff in it to make it look better and taste better. It's not aged or anything. It's just 75% alcohol. Can you drink it? Yeah, you can drink it. Don't recommend you drink it, but you can. Do people drink 151 proof alcohol with color and so forth? Yeah. There are people who drink it. There are people who drink even higher. But then again, the people who jump off buildings. So. Have I drank 151 proof? I personally have. You know, I mean, a glass or two once in a while to be social. On my own, I wouldn't drink it. For the, instead of aloe vera, which just stores a sort of aloe vera, you can use glycerin or vegetable glycerin. On the bottom here, making disinfecting wipes, stores a sort of disinfecting wipes. Stores right now sold out of a lot of stuff, including bread and milk. This is really a bad time. This is the worst possible time to go shopping because the national emergency for coronavirus has just been declared. Give it a few days, maybe 5 days, 10 days. Things will be back in the store. Not necessarily mask, probably not no mask, because the mask, the health system had 30 million masks and they needed 300 million. And the words I'm getting from people now who people who work in the hospital is the hospital workers are running out of masks and entire equipment. Mask, clothing, gloves, they're running out. And hand sanitizer, they're in really bad shape right now. Now, one of the things that the government was researching was taking over industries based on a directive during the Korean War so they can tell which companies what to make and what to do with it. I think they're going to do that. My guess, not a prophecy, my guess is they're going to do that.
Jim Small said, Ralph's and Food King, that they don't have 24-hour stores anymore. At 8 p.m., they're closing down all their stores. They restock every single night. They have enough food and supplies. And so get there first thing in the morning, but it's all gone by noon. So every night they do restock.
Ralph's and whom?
They also own Food King.
Ralph's and Food King.
It's Data Brothers.
Yeah, okay.
And Food for Less.
Yeah. Okay, so Ralph's, yeah. Food for Less,
Food King,
Stater Brothers, all stock every night. The ones that used to go 24 hours or longer are closing down. Well, Ralph's and Food King are closing on at 8 every night. They have enough food supplies and they restock every night. But of course, it sells out. So if you want the stuff and you don't have it, I think by now all ABC should have it, you want to get in line early in the morning. But Ralph's don't sell masks. This is just food we're talking about here, right?
Just food,
okay?
Yeah.
So they have it. All the regular grocers, they have no shortage, but you have to be early because it sells out right away because people are still in a panic mode. But like I say, give them 5 days or so, and the panic will go away, and things will revert back to normal.
Yeah, and they don't have shortage of toilet paper.
And they haven't got a shortage of toilet paper, okay? So again, if you want to find these food products and so forth, general grocery store stuff, go to Ralph's, Food King, Food for Less, and Stater Brothers. They have them, but they stock at night. It's gone pretty fast in the morning.
One of the big reasons why they were stocking up also is because all the children are now home inside for the next 2 weeks because there's no school starting tomorrow.
Okay, so a lot of families are stocking up because there's no school and kids are home, so they need more food because they're not getting lunches at school, right? Not getting meals at school. Making disinfecting wipes, you want to pour some Clorox or Lysol or Pine-Sol or alcohol between 60% and 90%, 91%. I say 91% because that's what they make. Why they make it 91%, I don't know. Between 60 and 91%, not 100%. 100% is not good. It needs some water for it to be functioning properly. So between 60 and 90%. Pour it onto some paper towels or wipe pads. We have a bunch of wipe pads here that if you want to get some wipe pads, we can give you some. Well, maybe we should finish making some on Tuesday first to see what we have left over. Okay? Yeah, okay. But our plan is about that by next weekend, we'll have some of the stuff to give you all. If you need some in advance, give us a call. You can come by and pick it up. And you store them in a Ziploc bag. So we're making wipes and we're making hand sanitizer. And maybe we should start a business on the internet and sell them for $20 a wipe or something. Just teasing. Okay, what else do I want to say? Okay, that's all physical stuff. The main thing is we know, you've been taught this for decades, that the main thing you can do for your health against anything, including COVID-19, is confess your sins freely. None of this thing would be here if there was no devil. Behind every challenge, the demons. Confess your sins frequently. Be a loving, forgiving person because you want your prayers active and powerful. And then do some affirmations concerning COVID-19. Like, in the name of Jesus, every coronavirus dies in contact with me and my clothes, or my body and my clothes. In the name of Jesus, every coronavirus dies in contact with my body and my clothes. It is that simple. You got the sword of the Spirit? Use it. Right? It's that simple. Well, thank you for your patience. Got a statement?
I've got a question.
Absolutely. Frankly, I'll tell you what, the way I am today is unless we have a document that says for limited distribution, you can circulate anything to anybody. It's time everybody start growing up. I mean, if they don't want to grow up now, see, what the book of Revelation says over and over, talking about the plagues is, and they repented not, did not turn to the Lord, and they repented not. All these terrible things are happening, and they're not turning to God. But some of them are turning to God now. This is the time to give them everything they need. Right? Thank you all. Any more questions? Comments? No? Can we distribute this document to friends and family? And man said you can distribute any document you want to friends and family. Unless it says in it limited distribution, or if we tell you here in service it says limited distribution, you can go with anybody. But evaluate what you're giving to them. Just because it's great and wonderful to them, to you, it doesn't mean it. They might think you're really weird, or more weird than they thought you were. Okay? So more weird than they thought you were, right? Okay, thank you very much.